I'm Lucy Duran and welcome to World Roots. This month I'm in Sri Lanka with the 2011 World Roots Academy protégé Harry Sivanesan.
When we chose South India as a focus for the 2011 World Roots Academy, it seemed like a very straightforward story. We were going to go to South India and we would be looking at Carnatic music, the classical music of South India. And then we chose our protégé, Harry Sivanesan, born in London, who plays the veena, which for me is the quintessential South Indian classical musical instrument. However, nothing is as straightforward as it seems, because it then turned out that actually Harry is of Sri Lankan origin, and that the world of South Indian classical music extends beyond South India into this island where we are now, Sri Lanka.
Hello, this is Peter speaking. Ah, hello sir, how are you? Wonderful, you'll be spending time with us in Jaffna. Civil Coordinating Office, yes? Is that the military? Great, okay, well, we'll call you when we reach Kilinochi, Colonel Disaraka, and we'll let you know when to meet so we can arrange our military escort. That's great. Thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, Peter, you're such a charmer. That was Peter, meanwhile, our producer, talking to the colonel who has been appointed to accompany us
and escort
the
us
whole time in
Jaffna. Yes.
Because clearly, recording music is a very, very dangerous and highly political thing to do. Anyway, Harry, we did get through the checkpoint.
Yes.
With no problems, it must be said, so the famous facts did its trick.
The letter from the Ministry of Defence. There was a few eyes open when they saw the letter, though.
I think there were a few eyes open when they saw us, because I don't imagine that many non-Sri Lankans are allowed to travel.
Are allowed up to the north of Sri Lanka, yeah.
And so here we are in our noisy van on a
rather bumpy road,
going through pretty flat landscape.
Yeah.
Military posts all along the way. Yeah. A lot of barbed wire.
Yeah.
I've seen a ruined Buddhist temple,
yeah.
I've seen a ruined church, and I've seen a ruined Tamil temples.
Yeah. You've also seen a few houses with people starting to rebuild their lives, I suppose. I mean, new banana plantations in their garden and things like that. So it's a real mixture.
It's a sort of a poignancy to it.
Yeah.
Just terrible to think of a place that's so beautiful and culturally rich and so lush to have been devastated by war for so many years. Yeah. What, since 1982?
81, 82, yeah.
And just to the right of us is that whole area, which is a no-go area, which is called Vanni, which is where the refugee camps are.
Yes, and they still are there. I mean,
and heavily landmined still.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, still stuck in the area, but I think this main road that we're on is the one clear pathway to the north from all the way from Colombo.
The irony is that from Tanjavur, where we were in South India, to here as the crow flies is nothing practically, and yet we had to go from Tanjavur. We had to go all the way back up to Chennai, which was
six hours drive.
Grueling drive. And then fly down to Colombo. And now it's taken us 2 days to get back up here.
It has. And unfortunately, I mean, the time we're going, that the flights are cancelled. Having said that, I'm really glad that we drove, because as long as the drive is, being able to see the reality of what's happened to the country, how the people are, and what the situation is here, I mean, I think I've learned a lot from it already.
Finally, this is Jaffna town.
Yeah,
right up in the very, very north of Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. The last northern tip.
Yeah, we're in the peninsula.
And this is where you come from, Harry, and where you haven't been since you were 9 years old.
Yeah, the last time I came I was nine, maybe eight, not quite sure. But this is where I grew up as a baby. And I'm really excited to be here.
Jaffna's a very ancient city, isn't it? A very ancient Tamil city.
It is. In Tamil, we call Jaffna Yarpanam. And that's because a group of people called the Panars came here with the instrument which is called the Yal, which is an ancient harp from which the Veena eventually came 700 years later. But it's old enough that we know of Jaffna Tamil kings. There must have been palaces here. The culture here is very similar to that of South Indian Tamils, but there's so many differences as well. And I've been so many times to Tamil Nadu in South India, where we just were, and so many times to Colombo to see my grandparents, but I've never had the opportunity to come up here as an adult. And so I'm really looking forward to soaking up as much as I can of my homeland and hopefully taking some of that back with me.
Well, this music is justly famous. It is just incredible.
Yeah.
The power of the music, the precision of the drumming, the beauty of the Nadaswaram.
It's outstanding.
So
I'm blown away.
This is Nadaswaram of Jaffna.
Yes, it is.
And it's
absolutely
supposed to be the best Nadaswaram, and it really lives up to its reputation, yeah. Doesn't it, Harry?
Yeah. I have no words. I'm absolutely blown away. My parents and all the elders used to tell me, "Oh, Jaffna Nadaswaram, there's nothing like Jaffna Nadaswaram." And today is probably when I've appreciated and understood it the most. So we're standing with the lead drummer. He's from this village itself, Inuvil. His name is Sudhakaran Sinaraja.
Tell us about your ensemble. Have you all? Is this a family tradition?
The tabla's been in their family for three generations. His dad was an extremely famous tabla player called Yarpanam Sinaraja.
The tabla is the name of the drum.
The double-headed drum that we heard. Played with one hand with a stick and the other hand with the fingers, but with rings made out of a paste mixed with cloth, which hardens to give that really fierce sound, I suppose. So he's the third son of his very famous father, Yarpanam Sinaraja, and he's playing today with his brother, and it's been in the family at least three generations.
So here we are, standing outside the temple, and even as we're speaking, we can hear the drumming going on, tabla going on inside the temple. Clearly, it's devotional music, even though it's classical music as well.
He said, definitely, for part of a set, they definitely stick to something that was pure Carnatic classical, but the Nadaswaram is infused with devotion, so therefore they'd set apart a certain amount of time for devotional music, for what we call Pannise, which is the music, that's the set devotional music for South Indian Hindu temples. So they set aside certain times within a set for devotional and Pannise music.
So despite all the troubles that you've been suffering in this part of Sri Lanka, nevertheless, the temple continues to provide a context for your music.
He's saying that him and their generation, they're absolutely soaked in the music, and it's because of the temple, it's because of the people in the temple, it's because of how much they help and inspire and promote him, that they are able to keep the music alive and to be who they are.
Well, clearly life in Jaffna revolves very much around the temple. This is a very, very living place that we're in now. People are coming and going the whole time.
It's the heartbeat.
They're praying the whole time. And part of the life of this of these temples is in Nadasvaram, and the drum, the tavil.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we're going to be hearing lots more of this in Jaffna.
Sure,
but surely, Harry, nothing as spectacular as this group.
No, these guys are absolutely outstanding.
We're inside the temple and it's filled with people, and it's a really exciting moment. The deity has just come off the altar.
Yes.
What's happening?
We're at Thavadi Pulayan Temple, which is a sweet little Ganesh temple here in Jaffna. Today's their chariot festival, and they've just lifted the five-faced deity of Ganesh, which has five elephant faces. And now his brother is being lifted off the altar, and they're being hoisted onto everyone's shoulders to be taken around the temple, and then finally to be put on the chariots outside to be taken outside.
And I noticed that all the men have had to take off their shirts, including you, Harry. And including the sound engineer.
Yes. We're all standing here shirtless. It is traditional that men come into the temples shirtless, and with only a dhoti or a lungi on.
It's a really important day in the Hindu calendar.
It's a really important day in the Hindu calendar. Today's the beginning of the year, and so a lot of temples in Jaffna will coincide their temple festivals and their chariot festivals to coincide with this day, because they know everyone's off. It's already an auspicious day because it's the first day of the year, so it just makes sense to have your chariot festival today.
Just a little detail, it's actually the 14th of April.
Yeah, it's the 14th of April.
8 a.m. Throwing petals over the deity. And there's everything is sort of reaching a pitch, a frenzied pitch.
It's very traditional. I mean, in the scriptures it's written what music to play when in the temple. And it's very traditional that when the deity is leaving the temple to go for chariot festival, all the pieces that are played are in fives.
Magnificent. He's got a silver umbrella above his fine face.
And they're rocking him as they bring him out of the temple.
There must be 20 men on each side holding giant bamboo poles, and the deities on the top of them, all covered in garlands. They're coming towards us and they're rocking. rocking backwards and forth.
Yeah, it's traditional that when the deities leave the temple for the chariot festival, it's said that they're actually angry because they're going out to collect the negativity and of the surrounding community. So
after events here in Jaffna, there must be a huge amount of negativity.
Yeah. I mean, and one thing is spirituality definitely hasn't died in Jaffna, so...
You've got to stand back, Harry, because they're coming this way with enormous power. The deities are just emerging from the temple. The Nadasvaram, so about six of them are all playing the drums. And people are just going mad. I mean, it's clearly an incredible moment for everyone. Women standing all around me carrying clay pots full of fire as if it weren't hot enough on this April morning. There are flower petals being tossed over everyone from the top of the temple as the deities come out. And just across from us is this enormous chariot that the deities are going to be put onto to be carried around in procession. And here come the deities. It's really, obviously, very, very, very heavy and quite terrifying close to us.
The rope's being given out to hold and pull the deity, so they're about to get ready for the procession to start.
There's a very, very big rope.
Very, very big, very thick, ropes. Very long rope. Yeah. And the chariot's just left.
Oh, huge this chariot. It really is colossal. Towering above me.
And the little bells on the chariot tingle every time the chariot moves, so you know that the Lord is making his way through the village.
Well, they're off again. They're on their circuit. Yeah. I think it's time to go and hear some music.
Yeah, time for some Japanese music.
Danam, danam, dana, dana. Dum, dana, danam, dana, dana.
Well, this sounds totally different from anything else that we've heard
here
in Jaffna. And it's a style of music called Vasanta Kutu.
Vasanta Kutu.
It's a stick dance, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the group that we're listening to, the lead singer, is this gentleman here who's with me. And your name is?
Sobregasam.
Tell us what this music is, Vasanta Kutu. When do you play it?
வந்து மலையில் காலங்களும் செய்வாங்கள் பட் கோயில் தினங்கள் கோயில் தினங்களும்
So these pieces were written by a poet called poet Vishwa or Vishwapulavar. This was written in 1785, and he wrote them on as was traditional then on palm leaves. And so they were saved, and it was actually his nephew that then taught these songs and these poems and wrote and gave a tune to them and taught them to this gentleman Sivaprahasam's. Grandfather's grandfather. So the tradition's been running in the family over 200 years. And also this dance is generally done actually in order to invoke rain, which is something very strange because I didn't know we had rain dances and things like that in Sri Lanka. It's complete news to me.
It's very, very hot today on this New Year's Day. So maybe we need a bit of rain today.
This way, 22 years not go to my house. 22 years, all the instruments lost.
So he's saying that the dance is actually from Jaffna and within Jaffna from a place called Telipalayan from Kadduvan. And so this gentleman is from Telipalayan Kadduvan and it's been 22 years since he's been to his house because he hasn't been able to go. So he's lost all his instruments, he's lost everything to do with Vasant and Kuttu.
Documents.
So he lost his documents for all the Kudda scripts and all these things in the first set of problems in the 80s. And then what he managed to rewrite and keep in books, he again lost just now when he's not been able to go to his house.
So how, in that case, have you remembered?
Whatever he managed to grab, he took out. But also whatever he's found from other sources is what he's able to sing now.
Are you the only group that's performing Vasanta Kutu?
There's no other groups here because they don't know the steps, they don't know the songs, the original songs written by Vishwapulavar. So because of that, they are the only one existing group left in Jaffna.
So the tradition rests on you.
Listening to World Roots on the BBC. There's more from the World Roots Academy after this.
BBC. London Calling from the BBC. With the whole world's attention on London in 2012.
To the city of London.
When I said London, everyone just went nuts. So it was just a brilliant feeling.
The BBC is focusing on a city getting ready to host the Olympic Games.
We're barely counting in weeks and months now, so it's close.
With a unique insight into the history, culture and population, we have programmes throughout the year with a London perspective. We take an inside look at the city's preparations and at the hopefuls looking for glory in 2012.
I fully commit and give it 100%. I think I've got a real chance of getting in the team.
London Calling from the BBC. On radio, on TV and online.
Wherever you're going today, take a world of arts and culture with you. Simply download The Strand at bbc.com/podcasts and you can put a world of arts in your pocket.
I'm Lucy Duran and coming up in today's World Roots, we meet with a group of women who sing a disappearing lullaby tradition and also funeral laments. The painful reality is that each of the women in this group has lost a husband or a son in the civil conflict that tore Sri Lanka apart. Their heart-rending laments bring Sri Lanka's recent past into sharp focus. But first, the news.
BBC News with Marion Marshall. Hospitals in the northern Nigerian city of Kano are struggling to cope with scores of dead and wounded following a series of bomb attacks on Friday. A BBC correspondent at the mortuary of the main hospital in the city saw at least 100 bodies. But a senior hospital official said the number of dead was likely to rise, as many people had been buried under the debris from the bombs. Islamist parties have secured an overwhelming victory in Egypt's first parliamentary elections since the downfall of President Mubarak a year ago. The final results of the three-stage polls show that the Muslim Brotherhood had won over 40% of the seats. The hardline Islamists, known as Salafists, came second. The opposition in Syria has formally asked the Arab League to refer the Syrian crisis to the United Nations Security Council. On Sunday, Arab foreign ministers meet in Cairo to discuss the future of the Arab League observer mission to Syria. Angry protesters in the eastern Libyan city of Benghazi have forced their way into the headquarters of the transitional government after besieging the building for hours. Witnesses said the protesters used stones and iron bars to break into the offices. They're angry at what they see as the slow pace of reform. About 100,000 people in Hungary have marched through the centre of the capital, Budapest, in support of the Prime Minister, Viktor Orban. He's come under heavy criticism for adopting laws seen as endangering democracy. Voting is taking place in South Carolina, the latest leg of the battle for the Republican candidacy in the US presidential election. The front-runner, Mitt Romney, appears to be neck and neck with Newt Gingrich, the former House Speaker. Africa's biggest sporting event, the Cup of Nations, has begun in Equatorial Guinea, which is co-hosting the event with Gabon. In the first match of the football tournament, Equatorial Guinea are playing Libya. Hours before kick-off, thousands of fans forced their way into the stadium. BBC World Service News.
I'm Lucy Duran and welcome back to World Roots. This month we're in Sri Lanka with World Roots Academy protégé Harry Sivanesan.
We're here at Telipole Durgaman Temple, and this temple was very special to my maternal grandparents. And when I lived here as a baby, I know they used to, my grandmother religiously brought me here twice a week, and I even had my hair shaved off as a baby here, which is part of your religious ceremonies as a child. So it's really special I'm here. I know my grandparents would have absolutely craved to come back here in the last 20 years of their lives when they lived in Colombo. We're about to go in. They're actually bathing the deity as we speak, and probably after they've dressed the deity, we'll do some prayers. And if it's appropriate, hopefully I'll be able to sing. Virumani Aya, my grand teacher, wrote a song especially about Durga, the mother, at this temple. So it'll be really nice if I could sing it here.
Yinika yinika paduve namma, yinika yinika paduve namma. Inba Tamil anbudan unnai naan, yinika yinika paduve amma. Ninaikka ninaikka palikum kalgal, ninaikka ninaikka palikum kalgal, nimale ninaye potri pangal, yinika yinika paruve namma. Inba Tamil anbudan unnai naan, yinika yinika paruve namma amma. Padam kaanben pankajapuvil. Tilly in
ஆண்டுட்டி சூழண்டாடு இங்கு சாமிக்கு தொகமயிலாடி வரும்.
These are lullabies sung by a group of women who've come a very, very long way in order to sing these lullabies, which are a dying tradition. And in fact, we would have gone to where they live, but it's still a high security zone up in the northeast of Sri Lanka, so we couldn't make it there, and they've travelled all day to come here and sing these songs for us.
It's been fine for us to travel up to the Jaffna Peninsula, but there's a certain area to the southeast of Jaffna where it's still high security and still very difficult for anyone else apart from the residents of that area to go into in the high security zone.
First of all, tell us about these lullabies.
She remembers her dad's mother singing lullabies, and also she remembers her mother singing lullabies. Her mother bore 10 children, and so she sang the same lyrics that she's singing. She said there's so many lyrics that her mother sang, and she said because of all the troubles and the sadness that she's had, she's forgotten half of them, so she really had to remember what she could in order to sing the same lyrics that her mother sang.
Well, thank you for coming this very long way. I know it's been a long and very hard day for you. I hear that you also sing songs of mourning, laments. Is there a specific tradition of singing laments?
Normally in a funeral, it's not just one person. One person would say one thing about the passed away, and then another lady sitting across the way would then add in another bit, and another lady sitting there would then add in another bit, and so they would all join in to describe and mourn the passing away. So each time she sings, she finds it very difficult because it brings back so many memories. The actual vocal element of it is lost because it's lost within the grief. She's lost her husband and her children, and because of that, as soon as she starts singing, the worry and the sorrow is great.
You lost them in the war?
Yes, she lost all of them in the war now.
And so all of you women who are here now, you've all lost family in the war?
Everyone here has lost at least one or two people in their family.
When you sing lament songs, does that help you in some way? Does that help you come to terms with your grief? Or does it make it worse?
So generally when singing Oppari or these songs of lament, it doesn't really help to cope with the sorrow. It just increases the sorrow. One of these ladies has lost a grandson who studied here in Jaffna at the university, and he was only 3 months away from passing out and finishing his degree. So she says, for sure, when she's going to sing, just all the memories of him, it doesn't go away, it just gets worse.
Yeah.
Well, having talked about these funeral songs, these women just began singing. Mm-hmm. And I must say it's very, very hard to listen to. It's really difficult. Very difficult, because they are clearly grieving. This is not something that they're just doing to demonstrate a style of singing. They are genuinely grieving, and it's a very...
I think it's much more sensitive because we're in this country at this time, and that's why we can feel it. I mean, the energy around them is...
Well, they all have personal stories of loss, and it's a terrible reminder that so many thousands of people died in this long civil war that's been the blight of Sri Lanka for the past 25 years.
Yeah. It's maybe an apt reminder.
It's nighttime here in Jaffna, and we're in a quiet neighborhood of town. We're actually in a wedding hall, and we are pretty much the only people here except for the caretakers, a stray priest from the nearby temple. And we've come to meet one of the great names in Carnatic music here in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, we're sitting here with Inuvil R. Radhakrishnan, sir. He's one of the senior most musicians who's here in Jaffna.
He's a violinist.
That's great. Yeah, he's a violinist.
How do you know Radhakrishna?
I know Radhakrishna so because my teacher in London, Srimati Shivashakti Sivanesan, she speaks very highly of Radhakrishna sir, and she's known him since childhood. And I believe that Radhakrishna sir used to actually accompany her when she was a child and do her concerts.
And she was your teacher that came into the World Roots studio in an earlier program.
Yeah.
There is a famous composer from here who, Harry, you've talked to me about, and was a very celebrated composer of Carnatic music.
Yeah,
so tell us about him.
He was my guru's guru, and his name was Yalpanam N. Veeramaniyaiya. He was a prolific composer. He'd write numerous compositions. Whenever someone asked for a composition, sitting in front of him, he'd just take a pen and paper, write it, sing it, record it, and there you go. That was it. He had a great, great gift. And he was very, very celebrated here in Jaffna, and he only passed away just a few years ago. And his house is actually a couple of streets down the road.
Wow, so it's very, very local to where we are right now.
Absolutely,
in Jaffna. Radhakrishnan, so did you know Veeramani Iyer?
Radhakrishna sir knew Veeramaniyaiya very well. When he was age 30, Veeramaniyaiya, who was senior to Radhakrishna sir, maybe Veeramaniyaiya was about 45 then. So when Radhakrishna sir was 30, he used to, well, it was the first time that Veeramaniyaiya asked him to accompany his vocal concert. So, and then since then, they worked together with Radhakrishnan accompanying Veeramaniyaiya during his singing. He was a very celebrated artist, not only here in Jaffna, but also in India. And Radhakrishnan says there's very few people that's given Jaffna a name in India. Veeramaniyaiya was so gifted that he gave Jaffna a name in India, and hence that's why he's called Yalpanam Veeramaniyaiya.
Ah, because Yalpanam is the original name of Jaffna.
Of Jaffna, yes.
It feels, Harry, like all the sort of pieces of this very complex puzzle that makes up your life are sort of all coming together now here in Jaffna.
Yeah,
and definitely. And so, you know, your guru and the compositions of Veeramani Iyer, which are very special to you because your guru learnt from him. And she, your guru, has also played with Radhakrishnan.
As has Veeramani Iyer, yes.
And so everything seems to kind of come together, and I think it's time to hear a Veeramani Iyer piece. ¶¶
We're at our final destination, and it's been quite a trip. It feels like forever ago that we were standing on that beach in Colombo, thinking about coming up here to the north of Sri Lanka, to Jaffna.
Yeah.
But this spot where we are right now is very, very special to you.
Yeah. This is where I was brought up by my grandparents as a little baby, baby from 6 months till about 2.5. So I've come back to the house that, well, basically our house, our house here in Jaffna.
We're outside Jaffna town. We've been driving for about 20 minutes. The light is very beautiful. Mm. Its sun is going down and there's a lot of vegetation.
Yeah, the gardens are nice.
Banana trees and coconut trees, coconut trees always. As well. Lots of flowers.
Yeah. And vegetables.
Harry, it's been really an incredible journey. We thought for a while that we might not even be able to make it up here to Jaffna. And I'm very glad that we did. But what do you feel you've got out of this extraordinary trip that we've done as the World Roots Academy protege?
Jaffna has been a real experience. There's so much that I've been told about Jaffna, and I've told about back home. All I hear is back home when I'm in London. Back home it was like this, and back home it was like that. And in back home we do this. And it was really nice because when I came here, I felt really privileged that I understood a little bit about the culture before I got here, and I wasn't a complete stranger. But there's a big difference between being told something and actually experiencing it. And that is, I think I've just learnt huge amounts from being here, from meeting the people, from seeing the culture, from even just, I've been told so much about the colour of the earth here, that it's red, orange in colour, and it makes such a difference to feel it. Not only that, the music here is so different. It's much, maybe in myself, I didn't value Jaffna and the people and Sri Lankan Tamils, and especially our music, as much as I do now, having been here, especially after the few sessions we've just done in the past 2 days. It's been amazing. When I was in India, I was thinking so much about the music and thinking, right, I need to develop the music, and the music will develop me. However, coming to Jaffna, I've realized that I've helped understand myself better. And I know that there needs to be no difference between me, myself, my culture, and my music and spirituality. It's all just one pathway. And I think that's what I've realized from the people here, that they are the people, they are the music, they are the culture, they just know themselves. So it's really helped me to find myself and my music and my spirituality and who I am.
Thank you.
World Roots Academy protege Harry Sivanesan performing at the Inuvil Shivakami Ambal Temple in Jaffna, Sri Lanka. I'm Lucy Duran, and this month's World Roots was produced by Peter Meanwell for the BBC.